The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
They wouldn't leave me in the studio on my own for fear of things going wrong, so I'm delighted to be joined by Brian Mahan, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail, and Sinead Ryan, consumer columnist with the Irish Independent and presenter of The Home Show here on Newstalk. You're very welcome both. Thank you for coming in. The budget, I'm going to begin with Sinead, because it's far too early to be talking about the budget.
Look, I've had to dig out my Anglo-Irish stress ball, which is my normal budget week prop. And here I am in April.
It's in very good
squeezing
nick, by the
way. Because the stress that this is causing on me to be talking about the budget. God knows I spent a month of my life talking about the budget in October, and to be doing it now this early. So I'm really annoyed with politicians for doing this. Flags are being flown like the bilio. We are being told we're getting extra child benefit. I don't have any children left. Pensioners are getting 12 quid. I'm not one
just
of those
to clarify,
yet.
You don't have any children who'd qualify for the child benefit. I think you still have children.
I know. Yeah. And I mean, even if I did, what's a tenner a month going to buy me? But anyway, pensioners, we're going to get back 1,200 quid apparently once Michael McGrath gets going on the stuff in October. Time after time, when you survey people about what they want their taxes to be spent on, overwhelmingly they say, please, please keep the tenner a week. Just keep it. Mm. Please give me a hospital waiting list I can access in a reasonable time. Please make sure my kids have things like free books, free uniforms, free school meals, like you were talking about earlier. Please let me get a bus. Please, you know, help me.
I'm going to be very cynical and say, yes, they do say that, but in the cold, cold light of day, if you've an extra few bob in your pocket, you'd be more inclined to vote for the person who gave it to you.
Do you know what? I think we have proven this year, as if it wasn't already known, with these two daft referenda that went up earlier, that the electorate is far more sophisticated than politicians give them the credit for.
No. I disagree. It's about the tenor.
The populism.
They wouldn't be talking about this if it hadn't been done previously and
I'm
had
still
worked.
Squeeze
it much harder because you'll need it for the next
topic.
Part of the conversation. Yeah. Brian, this is a guaranteed vote winner. I mean, give pensioners a tenor. They're all on board.
Well, I think two things. One, I think this makes me more and more suspicious that despite all the protestations to the contrary, that we will have an election this year, despite everyone saying otherwise. Because this time last year, Micheál Martin and Michael McGrath got very annoyed when Fine Gael junior ministers came out and wrote a letter into the Irish Times or the Indo or wherever it was and talked about a €1,000 tax giveaway for the budget, and it was April or May last
since
year.
Promoted.
Yeah, Peter Burke since promoted into cabinet.
And Jennifer Kerman.
And it's just like, and now there's Micheál Martin and Michael McGrath giving interviews to the Sunday papers, effectively telling us the budget six months ahead of time. That to me, and maybe I'm too cynical, and Micheál Martin and Simon Harris are adamant they'll run the whole 11 or 12 months. I think the next thing we need to start looking out for is talk of an early budget, which will be in the second or third week of September.
Well, that will definitely raise a flag that they're going to the country sooner rather than later. But they're holding themselves as hostages to fortune here, because we may enter slightly dodgy territory. Look what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, the impact that could have on petrol prices in a couple of weeks' time if it escalates further, and we're all hopeful that it won't. They have to do it now they've said it.
Yeah, and actually, I agree with Brian. I think that that they'll have to pull the budget forward now, because usually it's in October, as you know, the first or second week. None of these measures at all ever take place until the following January. So whatever government is in place by then, it'll be the other lot that'll get the benefit, presumably, from the actual decreases in taxes or giveaways or whatever they're doing. I think it is highly likely that the budget may be pulled forward, and indeed we will have an early election, because if they leave it till March, they'll have to compromise all the Paddy's Day trips, and I haven't met a politician who wanted to give that up yet. They'll be canvassing in January, and it'll be just a mess. So I do think that'll happen, and I think then that probably explains the timing, okay. But still, April? Yeah, really?
Give us a small break, Brian.
I do think on that point, why it's April, is Fianna Fáil also want to reclaim the narrative from Fine Gael. We've had Leo Varadkar stepping down, and then about 3 weeks of just Fine Gael talking about, you know, getting back to core values, and Simon Harris telling us he's the next best thing since sliced bread. And Fianna Fáil were like, well, wait a second, it's our Ardèche. We're going to take control for the next week. And there's just going to be that increasing kind of tension and bun fight between certainly the two major parties in coalition.
It's a bun fight with small buns. It's not good. It's not the crack we're used to in the build up to an election. Mike in Dublin 18 says, Sinead isn't speaking for me. If she's not looking for money back in her pocket. The please give me services narrative always turns me into paying extra tax to pay the public sector more. So no, give me money in my pocket. I'd spend it better than any civil servant.
You're a man of the people, Jonathan. I always knew it.
That's Mike in Dublin, I'll have you know. D is in Limerick. Don't bother with a budget. Just give us an election, says D. And I'd rather massive tax cuts and the government slash their spending. Stop spending my money, please, says D. Trump. I'm not sure who it is, actually, but it does sound very much like a Republican. Texting in from Texas. I need to talk about the breaking news story that caught everyone by surprise, but not really, earlier on. Jonathan Hill resigning as CEO of the FAI. Now, he's been dragged before Oireachtas committees, and he's had some troubled times of late in the role, having to explain himself. We weren't massively surprised, though, when he went this morning.
No, I mean, a lot of people say the Public Accounts Committee doesn't have as much power as it used to, but this is certainly a head on the spike for them. And he was, and we can say it now because he's gone, he was a dead man walking after that appearance. And also, it should not have taken the FAI, God knows how long, to get a sponsorship for the men's team. It should not take them 6 to 7 months to get a manager for the men's international football team. And I have friends who are absolute headers for League of Ireland and the Irish football team. And they are tearing their hairs out. They're tearing the hair out of their head for the last 18 months at the way the FAI has been run. And it might be unfair, but they don't feel like anything has changed since the bar
was spectacularly low for the FAI. I mean, anybody would have arguably done a better job than had been done to that point. Yet here we are with the CEO resigning after appearing before a public accounts committee. And they're kind of back at square one in terms of, I mean, OK, they'll say their governance is better and so on. But in the public's mind, the FAI is still down at the bottom of the pile.
It is. People expect more than the bare minimum. And the FAI, if they were giving us the bare minimum, were certainly not communicating that. And it's absolutely bonkers to my mind. Like, soccer or football or whatever you want to call it is the most widely played sport in the country. And
I always wince at that. Yeah, because I would argue that if you combine football and hurling, it would beat it. But I know where you're going with it.
But they have absolutely zero, zilch, minus political capital. Like, they went in there 6 or 9 months ago with this shiny document talking about infrastructure development. And they're just laughed out of the room because the government don't trust them with the money. The public talk about not trusting the government with their money. The government definitely don't trust the public, don't trust the FAI with the public's money, and they won't get it. And it's crazy. They are tripping over the very low bar that Delaney set.
We'll have an in-depth conversation off-air, Sinead, about the League of Ireland Division 1, because I know you have very strong opinions on
it.
But we're going to move on to Dublin Airport's liquid restrictions, because everybody thought they were going to be able to bring their bottle of water that they bought outside in W.H. Smith through security because they changed the rules. And now we're told, no, you can't.
Yeah, and look, you can do this in Shannon, you can do it in Knock, in Kerry and in Donegal airports. We were told that Dublin Airport would be up and running and have these special C3 scanners, as they're called, in place so that by the summer, busy summer season coming up, that you could ditch the whole 100 mils in the tiny little plastic bag things. Now, this leaves me personally annoyed because now I have to continue my theft campaign in hotels to take all the toiletries out, which I wrote about last week.
Hang on a second. As a consumer advocate, surely you should advocate the theft of things that you can take from hotels.
For sure, no, I was advocating. I'm just saying from a personal level, I'm now going to have to continue that on. And so many hotels now are going all eco-friendly, which I'm not pleased about.
No.
And
can't
they have them in these
there.
big containers.
Well, anyway, you could bring a container from home and squeeze it into it. I mean, look, there's many ways you can do this.
This is what we were told we were going to avoid. Now, these machines, in fairness, are massive. They have a couple of them in Terminal 2. But the problem is you never know which queue you're going to end up in, because you start queuing outside and you ever get to the airport and you see 6 queues. And you're going, I'll go for that one, will I?
Yeah.
Ah, no, I'll go for this one. It's moving faster. And it's only when you get in, you realise you never know what you're going to get and you don't know if the other airport is going to have it.
Can I ask a question? Is this the machine where you stand with your hands up and they get to see you in the nuddy?
Yeah, well, they do have some of those machines. No, they don't get to see you in the nuddy.
But they kind of see the shape of you, don't they?
They see bulges and are you worried about the bulges?
This is not where I wanted the conversation to go, but carry on.
These are the scanning machines that scan your bags. So at the moment, you know, they go through the bag, through the little flap, and hopefully are not diverted over to be searched at one side, and they come all the way through. There are new machines coming in called C3 scanners that somehow, and I don't know the technology behind it, can see into the thing and know that liquids are actually liquids and they are not, you know, parts of a bomb or whatever they're worried about. They are supposed to be in place now. They're not in place yet. We're told now it'll be October and the project won't finish until October 2025.
Which is it's ridiculously far away.
So far away.
Are we not conditioned though, Brian, to doing this anyway? Because I mean, I find myself now, I'm a little bit dictatorial when it comes to the family going through. Died anybody who brings something through that...
Sending them back home.
My son actually did it recently. We had to go through Cork Airport and your man had thrown in a can of Lynx because he's 16 years old and everyone has the smell of Lynx all the time. And we got pulled aside and the man had to take it out and it had to be taken away and I had to explain that, no, you can't do that. And he was nearly sent home. But the point is, we're conditioned to it. So can we not just kind of keep going, suck it up for another year?
I mean, probably is that, and we will have to in Dublin. I think I went through one on the way back from DC earlier this year, not myself, my bags, and it does make it much easier and things do move much quicker and you don't have the people shouting out, you know, no liquids or get the little plastic bag and all that sort of stuff as well. It's an irritant. I'm sure I will be delighted when it comes into Dublin Airport. It's where I fly out of, you know, a couple of times a year, but... Yeah, I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it.
And if anyone is listening who works in the Friskin at Dublin Airport, are those machines allowed to see you in the nutty? That's the key question. 53106, do text in now if you can. Staying with matters of transport, one of the things that I was doing earlier, I was at the TRA conference, TRA 2024, at the RDS, which is talking about how transport is evolving and changing and getting better. And they've loads of cool things out there, like little single person helicopters that will fly you around and driverless cars and all the cool things that are out there. But it did set us thinking when I came back in. You remember the Jetsons? Do you remember the Jetsons?
Yeah.
Jetsons were great. Brian has gone, no idea. used to be a cartoon, Brian.
Just about, we're gone.
And George Jetson, it was probably based around now, if you think about it, because it was a cartoon from the 1960s. And he was going flying cars and all the cool technology that we thought was cool in the 1950s. None of it has transpired.
No, he didn't reckon on Eamon Ryan being in charge of the Greens in 2024, unfortunately. If I had a superpower, Jonathan, I think it would be flight. Do you know the way people pick their superpowers? I'd love to be able to fly. However, and I had a notion of getting one of these driverless cars from Tesla or whoever when they eventually came in, because I like driving, but I have an appallingly bad sense of direction. So it's very stressful for me to drive, even though I don't mind it per se. So I took a train once a couple of years ago from one terminal to another in a London airport. And it was a driverless train. Mm. I could not relax for the rest of the day. It was the most terrifying thing to be in this shuttle where you can see out both ends and nobody's in charge.
There was no one to press the button. Was that the concern you had?
Absolutely no control over it whatsoever. And I just felt, no, I'm not ready for this yet. I'm just not. So I don't really care about the future of motoring or, as they call it, the evolving world of mobility. No, give me my car, put me on a bus, stick me on the train. I'm fine with that for the time being. I'm really still getting to grips with all
of that. She's not buying it, is what I'm hearing there. Brian, are you disappointed that we don't at least have the hoverboards that were promised to us in Back to the Future?
A little bit. I mean, there was a TikTok clip by...
He's just pointing out, he's on TikTok. That's all it is, to age shame myself and Sinead.
By Garen Noon, who I think is a very funny guy, and he was basically pointing out that the Americans have now come up with a way in which you don't need a tea bag to make tea, you just spray something into the cup. And he was like, we were promised flying cars and now we have tea bagless tea or something. And he's like, this isn't the future.
Yeah, we do seem to be a little shortchanged. I can't imagine, even if you went back 20 years ago, what would the main topic of conversation be in Ireland? It wouldn't be, we're looking at building a metro to Dublin Airport, and better again, we're all going to have absolute meltdowns over bike lanes. Yeah, I who'd have thought that's where we'd end up?
I know. I remember seeing, and I looked it up just before I came in here, just to remind myself, in 1900, one of the magazines did a kind of a feature piece on what life would be like in the year 2000, right? Like, so it was so far in the future that people couldn't project it. And one of the things, surprisingly enough, was a flying car. And it looked like they had experts do drawings of what they perceived this might look like. And it's a kind of a chair with a rotator, helicopter rotator blade on it.
You would not be going anywhere near that.
I wouldn't. But what was fascinating, what was so funny about the thing was that the woman sitting in it, the fact that it was a woman driving was supposed to be super duper in the future, but she was wearing a full Edwardian costume with a hat. And I'm thinking, you can design a driverless car for 100 years' time and you haven't thought that fashion would
Not show a bit of knee, because that obviously would result in the crashing.
And there was a seat for your lady's maid, which actually I think should still be brought
100%, but there should be compulsory more than anything else. Cahill has contacted us from Ashdown. Good afternoon, Cahill. He says, this is an airport hack for Terminal 1. Get your pens ready, folks. When you enter security, head to the furthest left scanners. Yeah. There are two modern machines, so you don't have to remove the liquids from your bags. Yay, says Carl. I'm sure we're not supposed to know that, yet you know that now. So two furthest left in Terminal 1, if you want to maybe cheat the system ever so slightly. Brian Mann, political correspondent with the Irish Daily Mail. Sinead Ryan, columnist with the Indo and presenter of The Home Show here on News Talk. Thank you both very much indeed.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.